Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. All right, let's go ahead and read. We're going to read as we have been these last few weeks in verse number 10. We're going to read down to the end of the chapter this morning. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Last week we dealt with praying specifically. It says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Verse number 19, as we deal with this, Paul is going to show you what he needed prayer for. It says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak, that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know your affairs, and he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, we are glad that we're able to be back here this morning. It's a joy to see each other's faces once again. Thank you for the sweet fellowship that we're able to have before our services begin. Lord, as we go into your word and we deal with a subject that I believe that we all need, and that is boldness. And so, God, I pray that your truth would be revealed in these next few moments. I pray for our Sunday school classes along the way. Lord, I just want to say thank you for the teachers who are a part of this church and have a desire to teach your young people. Lord, I pray that as they give their lessons this morning, that you just begin to work in every young person's heart and life. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Last week, we saw 10 things that we need to be in prayer for. I'm not going to go over that list this morning, but hopefully you wrote all those things down. And the reason why we had those 10 is because we are under constant attack from the enemy. This morning, we will see what Paul has asked for, specifically why he needed prayer, because he's talking about last week, praying always with all prayer and supplication of spirit, and watch therefore with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and that's including Paul as well. First, Paul needed this prayer because he was just like anyone else. We got to understand that as we go through Scripture, these were men of God that were called by God, that were appointed by God, but at the same time, they struggled with things in their life. And so we're going to show this this morning. You would think that Paul already had boldness, wouldn't you think that? I mean, thinking about what he has gone through and how he already went out and caused havoc to a lot of these earlier Christians, you would think that he always had boldness. I'm just going off of what I know about him, but one who caused havoc amongst the believers, you would just think that he had boldness. There are two things that I would like to point out first of all, what boldness can bring. And I want you to write these down if you're wanting to write something down. And this should be a help to all of us, but at the same time, it's going to help us understand a little more why Paul had a desired prayer in this area in his life. The first thing boldness will do or slash bring into your life is a word we believers want to stay away from. Boldness will bring about persecution. This is what I want you to write it down. Boldness will bring about persecution to the life of a believer. That's just one thing that it will bring to that. Paul would see and go through many bouts and many difficulties and face many obstacles in his life. And he faced a lot of persecution. We will see some of these. We're going to be turning to a lot of scripture this morning, so get your fingers ready because we're going to read a lot of these things. We'll see a lot of these brought to us in scripture. Go ahead and turn to your book of Acts, chapter number 9. We're going to see a lot of these here in the book of Acts. But the book of Acts, chapter number 9, and just keep your finger ready and be willing to listen as we go through these verses. Let me get my place here. This Bible still isn't broken in very well. Mine was broken in rather well, but Pastor just preached out of this one, so getting broken into is a little bit more difficult. So in the book of Acts, chapter number 9, we will see some of the persecutions that Paul went through. Well, let's read verse number 29. And I want you to understand something and look at this as we see the first four words here. There's going to be a word here. It's called boldly. Again, this is the subject that we're dealing with this morning. Verse number 29, it says, "And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians." Well, what's it say at the end? It says, "But they went about to slay him." So in other words, you're seeing Paul's life is in danger. For what reason? Because he's speaking boldly. Boldly speaking will bring persecution in your life. Go ahead and turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 13 this morning. I made this rather easy for you, so we're not turning all over the place. And I try to do this in order, so we're not going back and forth. Acts chapter 13, verse number 50. I'll give you a few seconds to get there. It says in verse number 50, "But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against" who? "Against Paul," now his partner, "Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts." So in other words, because of their boldness, because of their desire to give the gospel to the world at that time who needed it desperately, now they were marked, let's use the word mark, and now they, back in chapter number 9, you said they wanted to slay them. He wasn't slain, obviously. Now they're in another city, and now they're wanting to drive them out of the district. So let's think about this real quick. Yesterday, we went out, we met here at church about 11 o'clock. We had a good showing. I thank God for the people who showed, and I thank God for the people who stayed home and prayed for us as well. But after we decided to go out, and man, it was already hot out at 11 o'clock. They were sweating like crazy. We were able to knock on quite a few doors, and we had some good responses. And then as I went to go pick up the remainder of the crew, Greg and Matt, they were partners yesterday. And as they went to go knock on a door, I don't even know if they knocked on the door, but there's a group of people out at the house that they were just moving into. They began to be made fun of. It was funny because when Matt came to the van, he goes, "We just got," what was the word you used? "Ridiculed." And he had a smile on his face. Why was there a smile on his face? Well, for this reason. You're doing God's work. Yeah, you're not always going to be well received. But God's going to reward that eventually. You know, he really could have taken it a different direction. You know, he could have had his emotions get caught up in it and begin to think as a natural man. And you can probably say, well, how dare you? You can become very confrontational with the individual. But he came back with a smile on his face. He was happy that they suffered persecution for a little bit. But think about that. If you were to do what we did yesterday, how a city would be so angry at us that they would say, okay, Open Door Baptist Church, your members, you are no longer able to give the gospel out to this community. And so if you do so, here's a scenario. If you do so, the next time you do this, we are going to strive to drive you out of this place. Well, that's not going to be well received, is it? Why? Because, one, we're going to be disappointed that we're not able to do those things anymore. But as of right now, we still have the privilege to do those things. Now, Paul and Barnabas, they were driven out of the district that they were in. By the way, Greg, since I mentioned you and Matt this morning, I'm going to bring this up. Because Greg had knocked on a door, and an elderly lady answered the door. And she says she's too elderly to get out, but she asked Greg to pray for her. So if you can remember this lady, you say, well, I don't know her name. God knows her name. That's all you got to say. Hey, God, you knew the lady that Greg dealt with yesterday. She's the older lady. Would you, however you desire to pray for her, I would encourage you to do those things. So as we continue to go on with the boldness that Paul is asking prayers for, go ahead and turn over to the next page. Mine's on the same page, but Acts chapter number 14. We are going to see in verse number 5 another thing take place. Again, when you pray for boldness, two things are going to happen. One of them is persecution. It says in verse number 5, it says, and when there arose an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with the rulers to use them despitefully, look at this, and to stone them. So think about this. When you're praying for boldness and you want boldness in your life to be the witness that God has called us to be to help fulfill the Great Commission, I'm going to just say this out there. Persecution is going to come your way. Be prepared for those things. And then at the same time, know this, that persecution just lasts for a little bit. It'll pass. And you'll have a greater reward towards the end of it. You're thinking to yourself, they're going to be stoned. How is there such a great reward in that? Well, who's their God? Who's their God? Okay, let's say they're stoned to death. Where are they going to be when they die? They're going to be in the presence of the Lord. I heard a story. This happened years ago. I can't even think of the guy's name. But he had such a great desire to go to the mission field. And while he was over there, while he was on his way over there, his plane was packed with some tracts. His plane was also packed with his Bible, obviously. Well, on his way over there, I don't even remember where he was going, but on his way over there, the plane had trouble. And then the plane went down, and everybody on that plane died. But you know what wasn't destroyed in that plane wreck? God's Word. That man's Bible was still intact. Guess who picked up that Bible and began to read it and get saved? The very people that he was going to be a missionary to. See, he might have, he went out of life, yes. Did he suffer persecution at that time? Accidents do happen. But I'm bringing this up for a reason. God knows what he's doing. And so things might not go our way, but just be thrilled that God is in control. Amen? So these folks here, Paul, Barnabas, they were looking to be stoned. Go ahead in that same chapter there, and we'll read verse number 19. Let me get here. It says, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. Here's what takes place. They wanted to stone him. Now it comes to take place. It says, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now think about this. Could you imagine facing a mob? And it doesn't matter how many it is. It could be two. Anything over one, I consider a mob that's coming at you. But just imagine that you're facing your likely killers. Paul stood there, and I believe he didn't have a choice, to be honest with you. But Paul stood there, and they began to stone him, so much so that they thought he was dead, and they took him out of the city. Well, we know Paul didn't die. Let's continue to go on. Chapter number 16 in the book of Acts. And we'll read verse number 22 here. It says, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. So Paul's asking for boldness, but now as he's asking for this, you're seeing what takes place in his life. So we see here in verse number 22, their clothes were torn off them to be beaten. Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter number 18. Verse number 12. Who said being a believer isn't fun? You mean you call persecution being fun? Hey, it's all for the glory of Christ, is it not? It's all for the glory of Christ. By the way, and you put it in this aspect, who was persecuted for us? Jesus. So we got to keep that in mind when we go out and we might suffer persecution. And I'm not talking suffering persecution as, oh, you're a dummy for Christ. Okay? I'm not talking about that. That is persecution. But think about what Christ went through in his life as he suffered persecution for you and I. Okay, Acts chapter 18, verse number 12. It says, and when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him where? Brought him to the judgment seat. Again, more persecution that's going to come his way. Go ahead and turn to the book of Acts chapter number 21. And I'm bringing all these verses up to you because I want you to see personally what Paul went through. So Acts chapter 21, verse number 36, it says this. Where are we at? It says, for the multitude of the people followed after, crying, away with him. They didn't want to have nothing to do with Paul. Matter of fact, I can just imagine that just seeing Paul made them sick. And maybe if they saw him, they would go out of their way not to be even in his presence. And but they wanted to do away with him. Again, in Acts chapter 22, 22, verse number 22, it says this. Says, and they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices, says, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. So again, in this chapter here, they weren't happy with Paul, and persecution was what they were wanting to bring to him through what? Through killing him. Acts chapter number 23, we'll see verse number 10. It says, and when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled into pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. You see what Paul's wanting, what they're wanting to do to Paul? Isn't it very beneficial for us to see this with our own eyes? Is it not? To see what Paul went through. I'm going to stop here because I want to show the importance for us to see things with our own eyes from the Word of God. Wednesday night, after our kids program had ended, by the way, our kids program is going very well. The kids have, it seems like it's doubled, sometimes tripled in size. And God's doing the work. We had a young man who stayed afterwards. And I've noticed something. Usually we're done, we're leaving here by 8 o'clock. And now it's extending to 8:30. This young man came up to me afterwards and says, Chad, I really want to talk to you about getting saved. You know what I said? See me next week. No, I didn't say that. I said, come on in. Let's do some talking. And I grabbed a Word of God and I opened it up. And you know what I did? I didn't read the verses to him. I allowed him to see it with his own eyes and then to voice it with his own mouth. And then it became alive to him. And after a few moments, he began to pray, and I did not hear the prayer. He prayed silently, and I asked him, I said, what did you do? He goes, I got saved. And I said, can I ask you what your prayer said? And he began to tell me what his prayer said. And I tell you what, from an 11-year-old boy, it was one of the most beautiful, precious prayers that I've ever heard. And if I would have heard him praying it during that time, I probably would have bursted out into tears. But with that being said, I also began to explain to him that you no longer have to worry about dying and going to hell. His lip began to quiver, a smile became about his face, and he says, that's exciting. I tell you what, it's important to see things with your eyes so that we have a more understanding of what's going on. That's why I stopped just a little bit to tell you about that. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 4, 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. It says this, verse number 12. And labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Persecution will bring some suffering during times. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians. If you're having a hard time finding that, it's right after 1 Corinthians. Should be very helpful. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 9, it says this, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Did you guess that? Being persecuted, Paul was not destroyed. Why? Because God was on his side. God took care of him. Now, did Paul eventually die? Yes, Paul eventually died. That's for sure. Go ahead and turn to your Bibles. Same Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Go ahead and turn to 11. Chapter number 11, and we'll read verse number 24. It says this. It says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved one. Paul here was lashed 39 times. You know, a few weeks ago, our pastor's funeral, I was talking about how pastor used to spank us, and I thought he's at the World Series, and you know, the Grand Slam's coming up. You all heard the story. But what I didn't tell about the rest of the story, the guys that we grew up with, the Prettymans, they didn't get spankings. They got lickings. And when I heard the word licking when I was a young person, I just had a strange vision in my head, and I'm just going to leave it at that. And then I found out what a licking was. They would go out, and they'd have to pull their own branch off the tree, and then they would have to bring it in their father, and they would get the tar beat out of them, it seemed like. You know, I'd only get 3 or 4 spankings at the time, but they'd sit there and say, oh, you got 3 or 4. I got 100 lickings. They would say those things. I'm like, wow, how can you take such a beating? just imagine. They had ways about it. They packed up with underwear. Anyway, Paul received 39 lashes. Go ahead and turn to your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I'm taking some time with this because I'm wanting to show it. When you pray for boldness, persecution is going to come. Chapter 2, verse number 9, it says this, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under the bonds, but the word of God is not bound. I think I wrote the wrong verse down again. What I wanted to bring out here was Paul was in prison. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, and I just kind of alluded to this just a little bit ago. Chapter 3, verse number 11, says this, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of all of them, what does it say? All the Lord delivered me. Yeah, we might go through some persecution, but understand this, the Lord will deliver you. The next time you pray for boldness, you better know what you might be in for. Boldness is great to have. I totally agree with that. But some believers are not willing to be persecuted for Christ. Usually when we go out for visitation, it doesn't always happen all the time, but I ask that God will give us boldness. You know, I didn't do that yesterday. But during that time, even though there's a little bit of persecution being made fun of, it still did not deter anybody from giving the gospel to the people who need it. God will deliver you through those times. Amen? Okay, so why Paul wanted prayer for boldness, despite being persecuted, there are some blessings in it as well. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. Book of Romans chapter number 1. And we're going to read a lengthy portion this morning. Romans chapter number 1. I'll begin reading here. I'm going to read down through verse number 17. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets and the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, who I am served with my spirit in the gospel of the Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means, now at length I might have prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, also even among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. And I'm just going to sum this up just because of sake of time here. Paul had a great desire for others to know Jesus and to be saved. Paul wanted to be bold because he wanted fruit on his account. He had a desire not just to preach to the Gentiles, but to the Greeks as well. Wherever Paul went, he preached the word of God, including prison. And where was the first place that Paul always went to preach first? He went to the synagogue to preach to the Jews. The Jews rejected, and then he went other places. So Paul had that desire. We all need to have a desire to bring fruit with us to heaven. We all should have a desire to be spreading the gospel to the lost. And God opens many doors for us. But there are some times where we close them. Why? Because we lack boldness. And I believe we lack boldness because it might be because we lack faith in God. Paul wants to reveal the mystery of the gospel, that is, salvation comes from the Lord. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm simply amazed on the lack of knowledge that people have no idea what being saved is all about. There is, it seems like, an ignorance in our world of what salvation is to some people. He needed boldness, for he knew he was an ambassador of Jesus. He knew that he had to represent him well. And what a great attitude to have, wanting to live life, not to represent himself, but he had a desire to live life to represent Christ. I'm going to throw a thought out here. I often wonder what type of a letter Paul would write to this church. And I'm talking about Open Door Baptist Church. Then I'm going to go on this for a little bit. Would he commend us for our efforts to going out into our community? Would it be a letter that would be revealing a lack of boldness amongst the members of Open Door Baptist Church? And I'm not talking just a boldness to God. I'm talking about a lack of boldness for Jesus. Would he rip into us because of a lack of fruit on our account? I'm not saying this to demean anybody, but it might be some years since we have led somebody to the Lord. And that's a lack of fruit. And we need to be busy winning the lost to the Lord. Would he rip into us because he would see a church that is not in harmony, a church that is not in unity? Would he find those in the church who are willing to sow discord among other brethren? Well, the good news is Paul can't see how we are behaving. So we're not going to get a letter from Paul in our day and age. But I will tell you, somebody who does, and that's God. God sees our lack of boldness. God sees our lack of fruit. God sees our disunity. God sees us sowing discord. And I can just imagine how unpleased that God is with us at times. Would you agree that we all need improvement in our lives? I was telling somebody the other day, as much as I enjoy getting everything ready to go out and to go knock on doors and hand out tracts, the biggest fear that I have is I don't have the boldness. I lack courage. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I'm like the cowardly lion that we've all remember in The Wizard of Oz. And I know that there's areas in my life that I need improvement on. And I can just imagine as God looks down at me and says, man, Chad, what's wrong with you? Do you not realize that I can carry you through this? Do you not realize that I can give you the boldness? Do you not realize that I can give you the voice that you need as you begin to talk to people? Do you not realize I can recall Scripture back to your mind? But see, that's one of my biggest downfalls. I lack boldness. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. As we continue to go on, we will now look at five reasons, and I'm looking at the time. I'm starting to laugh here. But we're going to look at five reasons why we need to be bold for Christ. That's found in Acts chapter 4. Go ahead and turn there. Acts chapter 4. And folks, if I don't get through this, I'm okay with this. But Acts chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 5 through 10. And we'll go on from there. It says this, and it came to pass in the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander as many as were the kindred of the high priest. I'm in chapter number 4. Yeah, I'm reading this wrong again. You got to know how my mind thinks. Verse number 7, when they had asked them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is he made whole? Be it known unto all you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom he crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now, I'm shifting from Paul, and we're going to be talking about Peter here. First, because we have the Holy Spirit. This is why, this is the first reason that we have. We have the Holy Spirit. Peter boldly proclaimed Christ and charged the Jewish leaders with killing Jesus. The promise of the Spirit isn't just for the apostles, it's for us believers as well. Why is that? Because of his salvation, we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works on our behalf. We forget that at times, but the Holy Spirit works on our behalf. I'm trying to get through these five reasons here real quick. Second reason is found in verse number 11 through 12. I'm not going to read this. You can go ahead and look this up later on. Because we offer the only way of salvation. That's the second reason. Many today claim that all roads lead to God. Peter boldly pointed out that the only name given by God by which we may be saved is who? Is Jesus. There is no outside salvation of Jesus, and we should be urgently proclaiming the name of Jesus to those who need him, our families, our co-workers, our friends, and those we just come into contact with. The third reason is found in verse number 13 through 14. Again, read this later on, and that is this, because we have been with Jesus. And I'm going to explain this here real quick. Sure, the apostles had been with him, and they were taught by him, and that is pretty exciting. But we too have the Spirit. And Jesus is with us by who? By his Spirit. He is now teaching us as we commune with him by his word. So through this, we can tell others what we have learned through the study of the word of God. Fourth reason is found in verse number 15 through 22. And that is this. Be excited about telling others of what Jesus has done or is doing in your life. This takes boldness, and not everyone wants to hear these things, especially when it comes to God stuff. And I've heard this before, and you probably heard this before in your life. Some might call you a Jesus freak. You know what? That's a good name to be called. I'd rather be called a Jesus freak than a moron. to be honest with you. The things we need to tell them is how good God is and how he desires to work in our lives. There's nothing wrong in telling others the good things that God is doing. Do we not get excited about what God is doing? Hello? Yeah, we ought to get excited about what God is doing. I saw a message on Facebook the other night, and I know it had to bring excitement to Dina. But there's a prayer request that went out for the ladies to gather at church on Thursday night to pray for a granddaughter. That's exciting. Why? Because God is working in people, and people are concerned about others in the church to where they want to call a prayer meeting that's real quick for what? Just to pray for their granddaughter, that God would grant healing. And not just for the granddaughter, but for the mom as well, so that the mom can get the sleep and the rest that she needs to have. So that's is exciting. The fifth reason is this, and it's found in verse number 23 through verse number 31. God gives grace. God gives grace. Whenever we are persecuted, let's ask God for the grace to continue preaching with the boldness that we need to have. You say, well, I'm not called to be a preacher. You are called to do the work of God. When God saved you, you're called to be in his ministry. Now, you might not stand behind a pulpit, you might not be a teacher in a classroom, but God has called you to go to this world to preach the gospel to people who need it. Persecution is certain. Paul, Peter, they both had recognized this, but so is the grace of God. When the apostles were released from prison, they joined the other disciples, and they did what? They prayed together. What did they pray for? They prayed for God's grace so that they could continue preaching the gospel with boldness. And may we be known from Open Door Baptist Church as those that walk with Jesus and preach the gospel with boldness. And I'm going to give you this thought. That's why I kept going on. Lastly, real quick, boldness is contagious. When others see your boldness, guess what? They want it as well. It's contagious. Let's pray. You can be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've allowed us to have. God, I pray that you just, as we talked about boldness, Lord, help us to understand and realize that persecution will come. But we also know, Lord, that through it, you're going to be working. Souls will be saved. Lives will be changed. We ask you just work and bless in the next hour to come. In your name, amen.